Hi, I'm Sean Walsh.
And I'm Hillary Walsh. Welcome to Let's Get Rich. This is a podcast for entrepreneurs who are growing law firms so that they can live rich lives and leave rich legacies.
In each episode, we'll provide action steps to help you get unstuck, beat distraction, and find freedom.
Let's get rich.
Let's get rich.
Welcome back, my friends, to Let's Get Rich. It's so nice because Sean is back. Last week, we were running in two directions, and so you got a like 7-minute dose of Hillary, and today let's get a 25-minute dose of the Walshes.
Yes, I'm excited to be back. I missed it last week, not being here. I was kind of sad. You told me that you ran with it and did it yourself, which you had to do because I wasn't here. But
you left.
I did,
yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, kind
of bummed.
You
brought more of Mexico home with you than you intended.
That is a true statement.
True statement that we're sharing publicly.
I wasn't going to share it publicly.
You know how I love to talk about diarrhea.
All right. Well, there it is.
It's word vomit, too.
It is. There is no filter on that microphone over there.
Or on this girl. All right, friends. So let's talk about indecision.
Yes. Let's talk about the three areas where indecision can eat away or erode the success in your business and your life.
So you're working so hard, you're trying to do all this good stuff. And I think that especially if you're an attorney, we've been taught to analyze, and a lot of people talk about analysis by paralysis. And for each of us, every single person, pilots, attorneys, filmmakers, whoever you might be, we all struggle with indecision because we want to make the right decision. And we know, depending on kind of our background, if we made a wrong decision as kids, that might have meant that we got into a lot of trouble. Or if it was in school, maybe we got in trouble with our teachers. And then in a business, if I make a wrong decision, I could jeopardize the livelihood of everybody who's working for me. And like, you really can start to feel literal fear around making a decision. And so sometimes indecision feels better, but it does erode things.
It does. And this, you know, you mentioned it there, but it hits home for me because flying fighter jets in the Air Force for 20 years, indecision can cost lives. Either making the wrong decision or not making a decision can also, you know, there are moments where it's life or death decisions that you're making when you're doing that job. So indecision is something that we work on, and we train towards proper decision making, especially when you're making those split second decisions.
Wow, that's a little bit more intense than like, do I run this marketing campaign or not? Some perspective there.
But it's the same concept of decision versus indecision. So what's the first one?
Let's talk about the three ways, just so I can headline this for you. We're going to talk about the three ways that it kind of shows up, like surprising ways, or just different ways that you can do your own internal audit on whether indecision showing up for you in that way. And then we're going to talk about a couple of ways for you to overcome or combat or whatever you want to call it, so that you can get yourself into decision-making mode where you feel good.
Yeah. So the first one we're going to talk about is business and where it shows up in your business. And I think you summarized it best when you said it's kind of not playing all in. It's that gray area, waffling, trying to keep one foot on both sides of the fence just in case one side is better than the other down the road. And that shows up in things like too many practice areas. You're afraid to give up this one practice area because what if that happens to be the next big thing that you hit it on, rather than making the decision and focusing, like, you know, the eye of Sauron on your 20% that's bringing 80% of your revenue for cases.
Yeah, we actually, you know, we're sunsetting our removal defense practice, and we're going into a season where it's like, the universe keeps wondering whether I really want to sunset our removal defense practice, but it's the area that has brought us so much, it brings so much stress, and it only brings in, I don't know, you're the one who would know the numbers, but definitely 15% or less of our overall revenue. So it's like, why keep this on our docket when the thing that I really want to be known for and the thing that I really want to be good at is doing humanitarian immigration? So refer those cases out and just know that the people I'm referring them to, they're you know, going to do a good job on them. But I think what's really painful, sometimes I'll watch, I'll read like these social media posts, like Facebook posts and different immigration lawyer groups where people are trying to make the jump from either they're an employee in a law firm and they're wanting to go out on their own, but they're so scared to do it. And so they stay and they're thinking about it. And there's really never a good time to just make the jump. But what's also really challenging is once they've made the jump, then they have to hire someone if they want to grow beyond the place where they can satisfy and service the number of clients that get them to the revenue they want to get to. And so there's just indecision over and over. But I promise that if you get really good at one thing and you exploit that one unique thing that you're good at, going all in on a practice area. And I'm in immigration law, but I don't do any employment. I now don't do any new removal defense. I don't do bonds. I don't, like, all this other stuff. If you really, really get good at just a couple of things and work to perfect those things, there will be less decisions that you have to make, and necessarily you'll have less indecision.
And you'll also be more focused, right? Because you're focusing your effort on that one practice area. You're refining your processes. You become more efficient, which makes you more profitable. You focus your marketing on exactly the one avatar client you're trying to attract, rather than casting that wide net saying, you know, I want to attract anybody who's interested in immigration lawyer. You know, let me just throw it out there. And you will have less people come to you that way than if you are laser focused on your top thing. And that comes from the decision to say, what is it that my business does? What is it that my law firm does, the practice area, and not as general as we do immigration.
Right. I think, you know, when you're looking at, if you have too many client, exactly what you're saying, like if you have too many client types, then how can you have an effective marketing message to the people who you want to attract, because you're trying to attract too many people. And then you're just like, you're going to fall flat because your message is going to be very vague. And there's all these different books out there, like your brand, your stand is your brand. And essentially the concept from all of those books and all of the marketing guidance is you want to speak very specifically to a problem that is very unique that you have a solution for. And for me, we really, you know, I was talking to one of my private coaching clients and he was like, why don't you want to work with English speakers? Because I prefer to work with Spanish speakers. And I was like, well, this isn't that I don't want to work with English speakers. I really just want to work with clients who already work well with us. And when we have Canadians who want to immigrate to the United States, Canadians are not going to, for the most part, fit our law firm's service, like our offerings. So that, yes, we can probably file an adjustment of status, but a lot of the time Canadians have a very specific standard that they want us to meet that honestly, like a lot of times they end up being very disappointed. So I am not going to be the right lawyer for that person, where someone who is used to working with this demographic is going to be really good at working with a Canadian immigration client. That's not going to be my law firm. And so we need to refer them out. And actually, like many negative Google reviews that I have are Canadians who called in and were so annoyed that my staff members had thick accents, because my staff members are speaking English as a second language, that we didn't know exactly what opportunities were available to. Too many client types mean that you haven't decided to go all in on a very specific goal. And my very specific goal is to change the face of immigration law, in particular for Hispanic immigrants. And that's my group. That's my people.
When we were coming up with the idea to do this podcast, we made a decision, and that was we were going to speak to other owners of immigration law firms, knowing that there's not that many in America, and that's okay. And one of our regular listeners is my brother. Hey, Brandon. And he owns a business in New Jersey, and he has reached out so many times and said, hey, your guys' podcast is so good. You know, this can apply to all businesses. Like, why don't you say it's not for immigration, it's for all business. And it is. Many of the things we provide in this podcast are things that we've learned on the journey that can apply anywhere. But, you know, and anyone is welcome to listen. But we are being very focused on what we do, because this is our path, this is what we know. And so that was a decision that we made. And it's been really fun.
And decision will also show up when you have employees who could take you or leave you, where, like, if they were to get $1 an hour more, and go work at a competing law firm that maybe doesn't even do your specific type of immigration. They're just going to go over and do business immigration for so-and-so law firm because they're going to get one more dollar an hour more versus doing, let's say, humanitarian immigration at your firm. Then they haven't, it's like a level of commitment and a level of all-in-ness that for me, and I said this last year in our state of the firm, and I will repeat it again this year, and I actually had a couple of people resign soon after I said this, and that was for the best. I said, I don't want anybody who's on the fence in this firm. Like, if you feel like you need to make a move, I want you to leave, because I only want to work with people who are all in and who are here, who are aligned with these things that we're going to talk about today. And here was, you know, here's our big goals for the for 2024. And within 90 days, I had three or four people resign because they said, you know, after I heard you talk about that, I really thought I'm not all in and I need to leave and go find the thing that I am all in on, because indecision breeds more indecision. And you're going to have people who aren't really committed to your ultimate mission because maybe they wanted to go back to college or they wanted to get a job as a clerk somewhere or something else.
I think we've all had that experience with an employee that you kind of know and you're hanging on. And when it finally, they depart, either you let them go or they leave on their own, everyone kind of breathes a sigh of relief, like, oh, that's needed to happen for a long time.
Yeah, because you want them to, want to play all in. Like, if you and I, and we've kind of made this agreement, like, we cannot throw around, let's get a divorce. Like, it's not a talking point in our relationship because I'm not leaving and you're not leaving. We might be like deep in an argument, but we made a decision where if every time we got into an argument, we may or may not, our relationship could be on the table. Like, I can't live like that because that's like, I made a decision and now I'm sticking with it. So like, let's
figure
out for better or for worse, Montezuma's revenge included. Right. And so, yeah, I know. I'm gonna. It's a thread. It's a thread.
I can't make it stop.
You couldn't.
Much like. All right.
Oh my God. Okay. So, indecision in employees is a sign that you have indecision in your company, and that erodes growth. That erodes your ability to actually hit your goals. So let's talk about how. Speaking of goals, how indecision can impact and erode your progress toward making your goals.
I love this one because it's December, and it's my favorite time of year to talk about goals.
Is it the most wonderful time of the year to talk about goals?
Because it's the most wonderful time of the year. And it is, right? We're coming up on a time when, you know, the new thing is to reject the New Year's resolution. And that's cool. I don't care either way, which way you go on it. But it does remind you that we're about to start a new year. It's a fresh start. And it's time to think about what are we going to do in 2025. And as you do that, knowing that the sooner you make a decision to move out on your goal, the more likely you are to achieve that goal. Because anything you've ever achieved in your life began with a decision that you were going to do it. I guess maybe you stumbled into something by accident, but generally speaking, anything you chose was started with a decision. I'll give a personal example first, and that is when I was going through pilot training in the Air Force. I did okay in pilot training. I wasn't the number one student or anything, but I remember finishing and I got by, and actually I got my first choice of jet. I got the F-16. I was super excited, but it wasn't because I was in first in my class. And I remember you challenged me. I still remember the conversation to this day.
Oh boy.
You just said, hey, what would it have looked like if you had set out to be number one in your class? And I was like, well, I don't know. I mean, and you were like, well, why don't you do that? And so when I showed up to F-16 training on day one, I made the decision that I was going to be number one in my class. And I was, but it was because I made a decision before I got there that I was done being like middle of the pack, scraping by, sweating it on assignment night. If I was going to get my airplane, I decided I was going to be first. And I showed up every day an hour before people and got in the simulator. I did all these things, but it wasn't hard to get up early in the morning because I'd already made the decision I was going to be number one. And that was, you challenged me for that.
I didn't remember. I remember now doing that because, I mean, and not to like, I think just to juxtapose being number one, we have been married for 19 years now, but I still remember our wedding. I was going to say our wedding night. And I remember that too, but like, I remember our wedding and having to get up the next morning and drive back to Wichita Falls to Shepherd Air Force Base because you were facing washing out, which means flunking out of pilot training at your first stage. It was like if there was a freshman and sophomore and a junior and senior pilot training, this was your freshman sophomore year, and you were about to flunk out because you had failed a certain number of rides. And so that kind of cast a dark shadow over of stress. I mean, it was still a very happy wedding and it was all good, but like, we were both stressed out, and I remember even your groom's cake, you know, you had all these airplanes on it, in the back of your mind, I'm like, I don't even know if I'm actually going to get to be a pilot in the Air Force. But we got past that. And yes, you got an F-16 on assignment night. It was so crazy and amazing. And I do remember being like, you know, what's the plan here? What is the goal here? It's funny to think back all these years. I remember wanting to be number one in my law school class and then realizing that's not going to happen. So I was very happy to graduate with honors, but I did not make it through number one in my law school class. Okay. So how indecision erodes success with your goals is when you say that you're going to, when we say we're going to set aside a certain amount of money or follow Profit First. I think that's a really good example. I've talked to so many lawyers over the years who have read Profit First and Profit First for Lawyers. And some people will say how it was so life-changing for them. But the system doesn't work for some people because they say that they're going to follow it. And then when money gets tight, and it's time to actually follow the Profit First principles. And for those of you who don't know, you can kind of summarize the principles,
please. Yeah, just as you put 5% into a separate account, that is your profit.
And you do that first.
And you do it before you pay your bills. And some people will go, well, how do you do that? And the book explains it, but the gist of it is you're committing to the fact that you're running a business for profit, and 5% of that profit goes to you. And if you are not making enough money to cover your bills, then you need to change something about your business. You don't need to cut from your profit. And most people, your first thing to do is pull from your profit line if you need more money, not go back and reevaluate your business and your operations and your payroll and your pricing and all those other things. So yeah, that's the gist.
That's the gist of it. And so if you commit, you're like, okay, I read this book. I've heard everybody champion this book. Everybody who's talked about it has been great. I'm going to do this. And then when it's actually maybe the first or second month to go do it, you don't do it. That is where indecision erodes so much. We're going to talk about trust and energy and that sort of thing, but you no longer believe yourself, and your money doesn't believe you either. And so no more money or no more clients or no more success is going to come to you because you're saying that you're going to do something with your money and then you don't do it. And so you're not going to be rewarded with more money.
And the same is true of health, just like money. And when you're setting goals, it is, I believe, the single most common goal or New Year's resolution that people set is to get in shape next year. And Strava, the app that tracks everybody's goals, they have a day called Quitter's Day. It's January 18th. And on January 18th, that is when something like 90% of all people have given up on their goal for the year. That's wild to think, right? You are... sorry, I think it's February 18th, my bad. But it doesn't matter. There is a day. You can check out the Strava app. And it's not far into the year, it's weeks into the year that most people have given up on the goal because they didn't truly make a decision that I'm going to do this. And I told you before we started recording that one of my things was I was really overweight a few years ago and I wanted to lose weight. And I had tried lots of different things, but I had tried was the thing. I didn't commit. And one day I decided I'm just going to do this. And I decided to try intermittent fasting and I combined it with training for an Ironman. And when I did that, I lost 30 pounds over the course of probably 3 or 4 months doing it. But every day when I woke up to go work out or when I would skip a meal because of the intermittent fasting plan I was on, it wasn't hard. Like, sure, I got hungry or whatever, but there was never any doubt in my mind. I never thought, oh, maybe I'll just sneak a little snack because I had made a decision. I said, no, I made a decision. I'm not doing that. And I'm going to do this plan for however long it was, 4 months or 6 months. But the decision was the hard part because prior to that, I tried all different diets. I tried all different workout programs, but I had only dabbled in them because I hadn't really decided. And that's at the core of anything we do is when you decide to do it, you will be successful. There's no debate laying in bed at 4:30 in the morning going, maybe I'll sleep a little bit long. No, I decided I'm doing this. I'm getting out of bed right now. And so for me, that's where it shows up in my life is in health.
Yeah. For me, I remember when we used to drink a lot, we abused alcohol and we would go through these seasons of like, oh, I'm not going to drink on school nights. And so we would be like, we're only going to drink on Friday night and Saturday night. We're not going to drink on school nights. And then something would come up. And be like, oh, I won this really big case
Friday
today.
Friday Junior,
exactly. Thursdays. Or, you know, it's Monday night football or whatever.
Every week there was a reason.
Come up with something. Exactly. And so those are all the signs because by contrast, when we said, I invited you to please support me in this and you join, I said, I'm not going to drink for 90 days. No ifs, no ands, no buts. I think that's the correct order of things. But anyway, it was none of it. There was no contemplation. It wasn't like before where if we had done like a 21-day fast or whatever on alcohol, we would get it all out of the house because we didn't want it in the house. It wasn't like that. It was like, I don't care if that's sitting right there in front of me. I am not going to drink it because I had made a decision. And I think that if you're struggling with, I don't know if it's payroll or sales, or if in your personal life you're wanting to lose the weight, or maybe you're wanting to gain the weight, maybe you're wanting to add the muscle or whatever it
maybe
is.
Maybe it's alcohol.
Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's, for me, I'm really having to have hard conversations with myself about sugar. Oh my gosh. I was like binging these sugar fruity things
There's
earlier.
Reese's over there. I can see it.
Well, you gave me that. But I think that when we aren't getting the results we want, it's because we haven't really committed to getting those results. And that's because we're relying on our indecision.
Yeah. And I think that part ties really well into our third point, which is self-trust, because it's like a muscle that you build. You make a decision and you have this strength and you go out and you reinforce it like a muscle and you build that self-trust. And when you don't really make the decision, you're just, oh, I want to try to eat healthy. You do more harm to yourself by not making a decision because you erode the self-trust that you have on whether you're actually going to follow through with things.
Yeah, I think just on an energy level, if you have the energy of indecision, people will not rely on you. And if you're trying to grow a business, you need people to rely on you because you're supposed to solve their problems. But if you have an energy of indecision, people will pick up on that. They will know that when you're trying to explain to them what their options are or what you're going to do for them, and then you don't follow through because you're flaky, because you don't show up on time, because you overcommit and underdeliver. All of these things are aspects of being indecisive versus I say what my yes is my yes and my no is my no. When I say I will do something, you can trust that I'm going to do it. I don't have to tell you that. You can feel that when I say I'm going to do something, it will be done, and it will be done to a standard of excellence.
And people around you notice that too. And you become a person who stands by your commitments. And I think we probably all have that friend who's like, oh, they said they'll be here, but I don't know. Or, you know, I personally would much rather be the person that said, no, I can't make it. Or if I said yes, you know I will be there. You don't need to sit there and wonder if I'm coming or not. I said I would be there. I will be there. And that's who I want to be. And that comes down to the decision-making and overcoming indecision.
When I was in HTM, I made a commitment to myself to go to the mic every single time because Arjun had said at the very first LQM that I had ever attended, I heard him say, and I don't know if this is true or not, but it sure panned out that way for me. People who go to the mic tend to get better results. And going to the mic at a How to Manage LQM when Arjun's standing up there can be a very daunting experience.
I didn't go.
Yeah. And I went, and when it was a David Nagel event, I would go every single time you go to the mic because I'm not here to be a sidelines. This is just my view. So this is not calling anybody else out. This is how I talk to myself. I am not here to be a character in someone else's show. This is my movie and I'm here to get the value I need to get. And so I'm going to go every single time to the mic. If I have to go 5 times in one go to get the information I need to get, that's what I'm here for. And I have decided that that's what I'm going to do. So
that's perfect. So our 3 tips to overcome the indecision. We talked about where indecision erodes success in your business, your goals and your energy. And now a couple tips for overcoming that indecision.
So Michael Hyatt is one of our coaches, and he gave me this really good tip, and I want to share it with all of you, and that is to make the decision once. So rather than having to make the decision over and over and over, just make it once. And so I had explained to him how badly I wanted to I wanted to get into shape. And I had joined Lifetime Gym, which is very expensive relative to other gyms. I bought, you know, the one Orange Theory, like the fitness class, like I bought like, and I still have some of those from when I bought them in 2019, that I had tried. And I had hired a personal trainer, but I would cancel on the personal trainer. And he said, make the decision one time. And the easiest way to do that is to remove as many obstacles as possible. Make the decision by hiring a personal trainer to come to your house however many times a week, and then you can't cancel. And that is awesome. And then also, this personal trainer company doesn't let you cancel within 24 hours. So you cannot cancel. That's fantastic. Because this morning at 6, I was like, man, I wish I could just cancel. But I know this trainer is already on her way. I got to get my butt up. So that has been very motivating and very helpful for me. So how can you in your life make the decision one time? Automations will help with this. So when you think through Profit First, for example, just set the automation so that you do not have to even see the money in your account. It automatically goes to your savings account. Make it difficult to get to your savings account in terms of like pulling it back out, but make it easy for it to go there automatically. There are lots of other automations too, but that will be something that helps you make the decision once.
And have your groceries delivered to your house so you don't go there, go down the candy aisle and buy the Reese's that I bought and, you know, make the decision. I love to make the decision once because I had never considered that. Every time I go to the gym, I have to make the decision to get my clothes, get dressed, get in the car, go to the gym. But making it once, that's such a great tip and piece of advice, and it can apply all over. The second thing that we recommend is write it down. Everyone has heard this before, whatever goal setting platform you prescribe to. I love the one thing. We talk about it all the time. But if you write down your goal, you are just so much more likely to achieve your goal. That has been proven. And then I want to throw out the one caveat there that researchers have found recently is that people have taken it to the next level on writing it down. And the common thing to do now is you go and post it on social media. But what they've actually shown in research is that does the opposite. It's not the same as writing it down because you get this endorphin hit. You get this dopamine from putting it out there on social media and everyone cheers for you like, yeah, that's amazing. You're going to get in shape this year. But that dopamine hit alone satisfies your desire to go and achieve this next goal. And so it is different. Posting it on social media, I don't recommend that. Mm-hmm. Writing it down somewhere you can see it, put it on the wall of your closet or wherever you need to remind yourself to see the decision that you have made. I made the decision to do this. And then that will get you closer to success.
Last but not least is tying it all to a bigger purpose. So whatever you're making, whatever you're indecisive about, really pull back, not why you're being indecisive. I think that's a great conversation to have with a therapist or someone who helps with mindset. Steph Tuss is so good at this, by the way. Like, she's kind of like an evil genius in the way she can like really help you pull apart what you're...
Why is that bad?
why is that a bad thing? That's her famous series. And it makes my blood pressure, like my body yes. temperature go up.
Oh, just thinking about it.
I'm like, ah! But here's the deal. If you're flaking out on something over and over, do you really want to do it? Do you really want to do it? For me, I really want to have deep, meaningful relationships, but I hate going to conferences because going and networking and talking to all these people and all this other stuff, like, oh, I really hate it. So while I want to have more relationships, I know I need to create I was actually just doing a call with Genius Network. I don't know if you ever heard that call, but they were describing it and I thought, I can see myself joining. I have the money to join. It's right here in Phoenix. It's local. But one of the big things that they do is group networking. And group networking is like my Achilles. That's why I used to drink so much at all these other conferences beforehand, was like, I needed that because it was so uncomfortable to go and talk to people. So I just know that that's not going to be good for me. So if you are saying over and over and over that you want something and yet you're not taking any steps toward it, ask yourself, do you really want it or are you shooting yourself about it? Not the other one. Not the other one.
And there it is again.
Should. I should do this. I should get in shape. I should lose weight. I should dress nicer. I should do another marketing campaign. I should do an A/B test. Whatever you're shooting yourself about. Do you actually want to do this? And if not, that's probably why you're flaking out or you're being indecisive about it.
My favorite story on tying things to purpose, and I've never fact checked this, but I've heard it in more than one book, is President Kennedy touring NASA back in the 60s. And he sees a janitor, you know, and they're mopping the floor, but they're in like a great mood. They're, you know, just doing their thing. And the president says, hey, you know, basically, why are you so happy or what, you know, doing this job? And the janitor says, oh, I'm putting a man on the moon. And it's the idea of like tying this simple act to the purpose of you know, a greater cause, right? The person who's mopping the floors played a part in putting man on the moon. And that is my favorite story on tying what you do back to your purpose, because there's just such a great visual illustration.
I love when I'm working out and doing arms, thinking about, because, you know, I've been working on these arms, is thinking about how someday I'm going to be a grandma. And I hope that it's not anytime soon. Please, please, God in heaven, not anytime soon. But someday that's going to be me. And what kind of grandma do I want to be? Or when it's time for us to go out and you're about to learn how to golf. Maybe I will learn how to golf someday or drive around the golf cart and not have big bat wing arms. Like, I want to feel good about myself, man.
That's a very strange goal, by the way.
But like, so when I'm lifting, I'm not thinking about in the next 6 months what my arms are going to look like or what my body's going to look like or the energy levels I have in the next year. I'm thinking about how this is for my ultimate longevity. This is for my ultimate lifestyle that I want to have, which is full of energy. I don't want it to be so short term that I may actually reach the goal soon and then be like, okay, well, now I don't really need to keep going. No, this is like a lifestyle. This is who I want to be overall, because I want to be a very active, fit, have a great quality of life person when I'm 80, 90, 100 years old. And so that's what I'm thinking about when it's time to get up in the morning and I'm getting the wheels turning so I can go out and get that workout on and feel good about it.
That's great. Well, my friends, thank you so much for joining us today. We hope that helps you in some way overcome indecision or make a decision on something you've been thinking about for a while. And if you liked and enjoyed this podcast, share it with a friend if there's someone else you think that it might help. And then final thought is when you go to Mexico, don't drink the Jaimeca tea from the street vendors.
Yeah, really what I was going to share, just if I can get one last closing, is indecision is really about shitting or getting off the pot. See you later, friends.